Hello, everybody, and welcome to the first episode of the Playoff Push podcast here on YouTube. And today, I have a very special guest for you guys, someone I've been watching make content on TikTok and all over social media for over 4 years, since before the pandemic hit. We got Sneaky G-Man 11 here, everybody.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's your boy, Stefan, a.k.a. Sneaky G-Man. I almost fell. Right. Almost. Hey, I'm good. You know what? This is an honor. Thank you. First off, thank you so much for the support pre-pandemic. And then, I mean, here we are today. So to me to be the first, you know, guest on your newly crowned podcast, it's awesome. It's an honor.
Love it. You know, one of the best, if not the best, Giants content creator out there in the running for Giants fan of the year. I did see that on your story. I did see that on your story.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, and I'm going to say this too. You know, it would obviously, this is not a competition. It would be an honor to have that bestowed upon me. I'm not going to lie to you. But at the same time, you know, there's a lot of great Giant content, even yourself. I mean, you should get a vote yourself. So, but you know, it's going to be fun. And, you know, if I get it, great. It's, you know, it'll be an honor. And I know I'll represent, you know, the Giants and the Giants fan base as best of my ability, meaning I won't get arrested, you know.
Unlike another fan base, cough, Dallas. Even Vegas, like.
Yeah, right. And, you know, and if I don't, you know, then I don't. Either way, if I win or don't, I still got to go to work on Monday. So, it's all good. But yes, vote for me, please.
You're definitely more decked out in Giants gear than I am. I just got the hat. I got the Yankees shirt on, though, due to my lack of a jersey for now, because, of course, you know, Beckham left and then Saquon left. And so now I need to go find a new jersey.
You know, it's funny. Someone had said they had showed multiple jerseys on their beds of all the players that had left, like, you know, Cruz, Galladay.
I saw one of those with the Nets, and it was like two Kyries, two KDs.
Yeah.
Two Harden, Spencer Dinwiddie. It was so funny.
he called him. He's like, now I made a comment on his post because he had so many jerseys.
Yeah.
I said, now you don't have throwbacks. You have throwaways. You know, I wouldn't throw away a Cruz jersey. You know, but I always and then when people ask me what kind of jersey should I buy, you know, what should they purchase? I'm like, go with throwbacks. You can't go wrong with getting a Sims.
They can't leave.
Or, yeah, I mean, you know.
Like LT,
right. Harry Carson, Strahan, Barber, Tiki Barber, you know, Leonard Marshall, Banks, Otis Anderson. There's so many I already said Sims, right? I have to make sure I throw in Sims.
Of course.
That's my guy.
My dad's a huge Harry Carson fan, probably the biggest.
Harry Carson, another great on the planet. Yes.
In my basement, we have like a little gym area, and he has a massive framed jersey that he got Harry Carson to sign for him when he was inducted into the hall.
Oh my God.
Like personalized to him, like to John. It's incredible. It's a really cool jersey, you know. I'll be benching and look over it and be like, wow, that's so cool.
If I were you, I wouldn't come 15 feet close to that. Because if somehow it falls off the wall and you're in the facility.
Oh yeah.
No, totally. May God have mercy on your soul.
No, it's gorgeous. And you know, his main jersey that he wears everywhere is like a really beat up Harry Carson jersey.
It's the best one.
It's so fun. Like every time I go to training camp with him, which we'll talk about later, he always wears the same Harry Carson jersey. You know, I used to wear the Saquon jersey for like the last 3 years. Until, you know, whatever.
I'm sorry. Can we talk about Saquon real quick?
Totally. The funny thing about Saquon is my dad also went to Penn State. So he raised me a Penn State and a Giants fan. So when Saquon got drafted, I was like, this is going to be my guy. And then, you know, March hits and I'm sitting in a classroom and I see that he went to the Birds. And my friend, who's an Eagles fan because I live in Philly, comes in, points at me and says, ha ha. And leaves it at that.
So I live in Dallas. I don't know if you know that. I was coming back from lunch, about lunchtime for me. And there was a gentleman in my office who's also a Phillies fan, and he called me up. He said, hey, where are you? And I'm like, I just got back from lunch. Are you okay? Yeah,
fine. Out of nowhere.
I mean, I was like, why are you? Cause, I mean, it was kind of out of character for him to ask me if I'm okay.
Yeah.
You know, and then I'm like, oh, shit, why is he saying okay? And I'm like,
uh-oh.
He went to Philly. I didn't even know the dollar amount. I didn't know. I just knew just by the nature of that call. And then when he said, are you okay? I was like, yeah, I'm fine. What are you talking about? He's like, I'm on my way down. I'm like, okay, I'll be here when you, I'm like, what is this impromptu? What's going on?
And then you realize, and you're like, oh no, that's how it goes. Really?
And my best friend, went to high school with, grew up with, he's a Philly fan. He texted me, did you hear? I'm like, not now. That's exactly what I came back. Not now. That's
crazy.
We're not friends right now. How long you know me. We're not friends right now. This moment in time, don't talk to me. I know you're supposed to interview me, but I have a question about for you.
Yeah, what's up?
When you saw how it, you know, played out in Hard Knocks, what's your thought? What's your interpretation of how?
I think it actually went the way it should have. So I see Shane, you know, giving Saquon's agent his calls, and he's like, yeah, let him test the market, and if whatever price comes up, we'll see if we can match it. And he got the price, and it was too much for a team to put on a halfback that has injury history. But now where you put him, if you went to Houston, I would have been fine. I would have been like, have a great career. Have a great career. I'd still love him. But, you know, he goes to Philly. He's now behind one of the best offensive lines in football, if not the best. So they're going to do a much better job at protecting him than, you know, Evan Neal ever could. So it's just, you know, I think that Shane actually played his cards the correct way in terms of keeping the team afloat and not overpaying.
Yeah.
But it was just an unfortunate circumstance where, you know, we really couldn't win. We'd pay too much money and if he gets hurt again, we're just kind of screwed, or we let him walk and so be wherever he goes. It was just such an awful scenario for us.
I feel the same way. I think Shane did an outstanding job by sticking to his guns.
He was straight up with his agent the whole time. He told him
he's going to do. Very transparent. And people forget that they offered him a ton of money.
In the middle of last year.
Well, it was 2022.
Yeah.
The bye week. And for whatever reason, they turned it down.
Yeah.
And then they offered him another contract. Wasn't as much, right? Because the value kind of dropped down a little bit. And they still turned it down. So, of course, they had to offer Jones that hefty contract, okay?
And now that's where we're at.
That's where we're at.
And they just got a statement from Mara either today or yesterday.
Yep.
I mean, it's interesting, though, because like, he's like, yeah, I don't regret the contract. But, you know, it's what they had to do. But they can't, because if they show that they regret the contract, that could shake up some stuff within
it'll be structure. I mean, yeah. And then, you know, Jones, like it, love it. He earned that money on his contract year, and it didn't hurt him that Barkley said no a couple times.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they have to move on. They have to. Okay, you're telling us no. We made another attempt. You're telling us, okay, then we got to go in another direction.
And Jones won a playoff game against Minnesota. Broke records.
Incredible
game.
With no number one wide receiver as well.
Yeah, he was passing to Hodgins the whole time. Like, Hodgins was his number one dude in that game.
My thing, and I've been talking about a lot in my shows, that I felt lied to by Barkley.
Yeah.
And it's not so much I feel lied to by him saying that the Giants never offered him a contract.
That he wanted to be a Giant for life.
Yeah, and he's worried about his legacy. If you're worried about a legacy, so you mean to tell me your legacy is $1 million more? If you want to say, look, I want to take care of my family, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
But as Shane said, like, if he signed the contract with us, he's Ring of Honor guaranteed, basically.
Guaranteed.
It's a lock.
Yeah.
And instead, now his reputation among the fan base is mostly tarnished due to the fact that he goes to a division rival with no remorse or anything. He went out, and I don't know if it was Instagram or Twitter or whatever it was, But he said that he had like a thank you video ready for Giants fans, but backed out because of the backlash. But it's like, what do you expect when you do that? That's kind of what's coming your way, guaranteed. There's not really a way to back out of that.
And I know what interview you're talking about too, because I actually saw that, and it was his rebuttal after the fact. He said, because remember, he told the world that the Giants didn't offer him a contract. That's what he told the world. And that turned out not
at least a few throughout his tenure that he was offered.
Yeah, and that turned out not to be the case. But you know what? Some people call him like Snaquan.
Yeah, I did see that. That's fun. That's fun.
Some people, what is it? What is it? I called him Traquan because he's going to the enemy. He's a traitor. So yeah, it's Traquan. Totally. And I had a couple Giant fans that were mad at me for saying that, but I mean, it is what it is, you know? Yeah,
he had his and time in the sunlight with us and then dipped as soon as he got a shot.
Yeah. I mean, and when Tiki Barber, shout out Tiki, when he said to the Giant fan base, you know, he's dead to us, he's not too far off.
Because, you know, once someone contributes as much as he did to the team, he can't be fully dead. His stats are there. Like, he helped Jones that entire 22 season to bring us to the playoff game. So in terms of a player, I don't think he's tarnished at all. I think his stats show for themselves. In terms of how he handled the situation and him as a person, I think that's what's really destroyed among Giants fans.
Yeah.
No one's going to degrade his play. His play was his play, and he balled out, and that's how it was. But his handling of the situation and the way he held himself, even in the division, is definitely what Giants fans are going to, you know, bite him for.
Yeah. Yeah. That it's sad. I mean, I still have his, you know, poster up. It's going to be coming down before the start of the season.
Unbelievable.
I have to, you know, I myself have to move on. So,
yeah.
And it's a painful situation.
Yeah. My dad's going to be a common recurring theme in these podcasts. You know, he raised me to be a Giants fan in Philly. So he has to be a hell of a guy to do that. And in his office,
I'm doing it. My son's a Giants fan in Dallas. So.
Yeah. And in his office, he has a signed Saquon ball. And it was like, And the crazy thing is, he got it for Christmas this past year. He got it 3 months before Saquon left, which is the tragic part. Because, you know, my mom didn't even know that, you know, he was in the hopping block or whatever. And then he heads out, and me and my dad have to explain it to her. And it hurt so bad to explain that.
Because I know that ball was not cheap.
Oh, I guarantee you
that ball was not cheap.
But you know what was?
What?
Going to Giants training camp and getting a ball. And getting everyone on this, John.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, just got this. I got Burns on it. That was nice.
Okay.
And then I got, I got Bradshaw, Brian Kelly, Chris Snee, and then, and I'm going to get, like, Toomer on it.
When you see Amani Toomer, who's going to be at the next one? Wait, when are you going next?
I'm going on the 5th, which is Monday.
And who's going to be the legends that are there?
Yeah, it's Toomer. I can check. I'm blanking on who the other, Joe Morris is going to be there. And I believe there's someone else. I'm blanking on who it is though, 'cause those were the two that, you know, I prioritize.
Gotcha.
Deion Grant. Is the other one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but it's limited space left on the ball. But
right.
Yeah, another thing is like this hat that I got there. You can't see it because my camera sucks. But I got Banks on that.
Oh, okay.
Got pictures with all guys. Got pictures with. I got pictures with Banks, Burns, McLeod, Belton, Hawkins, and Phillips, the rookie.
Gotcha.
And you know, met like Jordan Renan too, and P-Dot. Training camp's the best, man. It's really it no experience like it.
It sucks that this year I couldn't go. It really freaking sucked.
Totally. Next year, if you go, you got to hit my line. We got to out there if it pops.
When you see Amani Toomer, please tell him Sneaky G-Man said hi.
Cool. I totally will. Yeah. I will make sure to remember that.
But hey, I mean, got any questions you want to talk about?
All right. So one of the priorities I have for this podcast is how you got into, you know, Giants content creation. Let's talk about some personal stuff before we get into, you know, the actual training camp recap and see what's going on around the league. But how did you really get into content creation and know that was going to be a big thing? Put your opinions out there.
Actually, I didn't know. It kind of happened by accident. I had Facebook and I had Instagram and I think TikTok was called something else. Vine, I think it was.
Yeah. And it was more musically. Vine.
Yeah, I really didn't know how to, a different thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know how to use it. Didn't know what I was doing with it.
Yeah.
You know, ironically, so I went, anytime I would leave the house, I'd always wear Giant stuff. And that happened on accident. And I, you know, when I go play poker, somebody asked me, it's like, do you wear anything else besides New York Giant stuff? No, unless I'm at work, you know?
Why would I?
And yeah, I'm like, well, I mean, what do you talk about anything? This is the dress code in the household. And you know, I always get the comment, hey, you know, football season's over. I'm like, that's what you think. So as far as the content creating, that kind of happened, on accident. You know what? I'll tell you exactly when it happened. The date was, it was August. I'm not August. Why it's going to kill me. June 26th, 2018. That's when we moved to Dallas, the October previous, and we were celebrating our wedding anniversary.
Oh, all right.
And we were in Grapevine Mills, and they have a every mall has a Dallas store in it. I would say they sell the best toilet paper. Okay,
it's high quality, you know.
Oh, two ply. So I walked in there and recorded it and was talking mess to them.
That's
and
fun.
Then dipped out, and then I posted it on my Facebook page. And that kind of, you know, that kind of took life on its own. And then I think that's how it started. But I've always been a Giants fan. I mean, even in my posts on Instagram. And then, of course, when COVID happened.
Yeah.
That March. I mean, I'm sitting at the house.
If I were to guess when I first found you, your account, it was probably somewhere in November, December of 19. Probably somewhere around there.
Yep.
That's where I would guess.
And I was posting content on there as well at that time frame. And but I will honestly tell you, COVID was when, you know, it kind of took a roll on its own. It kind of took off on its own.
TikTok as a whole took off because you know, everyone's inside. Oh, yeah. What else are you going to do rather than sit on your phone and mindlessly scroll all day?
And, you know,
I used to play Madden in the middle of my online classes.
Oh, there you go.
That was my way of, you know, handling being inside. What are they going to do? Stop me? No.
Right. And that, I'm so glad I wasn't, you know, I was not in school at that time frame because that was just a trying time during and then after because, you know, I have three kids. My oldest graduated in 2017. My daughter graduated 2021. But that's when they were just getting out. I would have hated of being in that 2020 class. That would have just sucked royally.
Yeah.
But as far as the Giants content, people were responding to my posts negatively. I'm like, you can't talk about my Giants on my watch. And I would always back it up with facts. I wouldn't make up opinions. I wouldn't say anything that wasn't true. And then it just kind of snowballed in this thing.
Yeah.
And next, you know, it had a podcast, with a couple other guys, Truce, shout out guys. And,
now you got a huge following. You're one of the biggest, you know, Giants voices on TikTok.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. I just, you know what? I just post because I'm passionate about the team. I love the team and, I do get criticism. People say, oh, you're a 40 plus year old man. You know, living vicariously through a team. And I'm like, yeah, would you rather I smoke crack? I mean, what do you want me to do? I'm living my life and I'm living my best life. You know, I mean, I get to have an opportunity of being the first episode on a new podcast. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's like an honor. That's, I'm going to be honest. I truly appreciate that. you know,
it's an honor to have you on.
And the fact that, you know, you've been following me for so long. I mean, it means a lot. It does truly mean a lot.
As soon as I got the idea for the podcast, I was like thinking, cause you know, solo podcasts, you know, they're cool, but they're not all that. I was like, who should I get on? And you were the first guy that popped in my head.
Man, I appreciate that. I really
and
do.
I, you know, I immediately tried to reach out and it worked evidently. Cause here
yeah,
we are.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I saw the message. I apologize. I wasn't following you back sooner, but I'm following you now.
Totally cool.
I'm following you now.
Totally cool. And you know, you clearly have at least some kind of relationship with some Giants legends. You're followed by, you know, Tiki and Bradshaw and Tyree. How did those come to be? Was that like via personal communication, like at a game or something? How did that come to be?
Well, so David Tyree, I'm going to say that he's not going to say it. I'm going to say it for him. The man is extremely patient. I've been bothering this man since forever. Same thing with the mod. And I want to thank those guys for being patient with me. Thank you for not unfollowing me and blocking me because they're justified in doing both. All right. They are. Tiki is something. It's a great story. I was extremely critical of Tiki for the longest time. Okay. You know, I'm not gonna say why.
Right? While in like while in the social media world with like
well, the no, whole... I mean in the past. I mean in okay. his, you know, the discrepancies that he had in the past.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm a very direct person, you know, and I'm the type of person that if there's a problem, I'm gonna also give you a solution. So, you know, I approached Tiki at a training camp. He happened to be there. And you know, we had a conversation and, you know, what I admire about him is that he could have easily dismissed me. He could have easily said, look, bro, what do you want me to sign? And then go about his business. But no, you know, I walked up to him. I was like, hey, I have a podcast. I'm extremely critical of you. And here's why. And I laid it out for him. And we talked for about 30 minutes. And now, I mean, we say we're besties, you know, you know, I mean, and there's also a video of it on my Instagram. Even if I didn't agree with what he was saying, although I did, I heard his side and that was the most important part, hearing his side. Yeah. But even if I didn't agree with it, I have to respect the man for taking time out of his day. He was actually late to his show, because we were talking. And then it's true what he, you know, what he said at the end, I told him, I said, damn, I hate you even more because now I like you, you know, and he is a good dude. He is a good dude. And I got to give him props. David Tyree, awesome guy. I had him on the show, once. Great guy. Hopefully someday a mod would come on. But you know, and you'll see this once you're consistent and you keep, you know, just keep doing what you love, they're going to see it and they're going to recognize it.
That's the goal.
One thing I don't do is name drop, but I'm going to be hypocritical because I would feel almost like I'm doing this giant legend, unjust. Leonard Marshall. Not going to say how I got in contact with him, but you know, it's an honor to talk with him. I mean, you know, Ring of Honor, future NFL Hall of Famer. I mean, it's, yeah, if I would have known that I would have been able to talk to my New York Giant heroes, I would have had a podcast at like 10 years old. You know, I would have done this a long time ago.
It took me a while. Exciting. I used to have a podcast, you know, more of a school ran podcast with my partner that I broadcast with.
Okay.
But, you know, it got shut down. But, you know, it's whatever. We used to hold like 30-minute episodes about to talk about everything sports, baseball, football, basketball. And then the rest is out of my wheelhouse. That's more, you know, him. He's more of a hockey and racing type guy. So gotcha. We would just talk about it and debate and argue. And it would be the funniest thing ever because I would lose my mind so often. It was great. It was great.
If you keep keep killing them with facts.
Totally.
You're getting easily. easily.
I got one more big question for you before we start talking more about the Giants.
Okay.
This one's more for, you know, a lot of the people in my life are going to end up watching this. And of course, most of them live in the Philly area. What's your interactions like with the hero of my city, the Philly sports guy?
Oh, yeah, Jamie. He is my nemesis. I say that all the time. You know, Jamie is Phil, a.k.a. the Philly sports guy. I got to stop calling him. I got to call him by the Philly sports. He's a good guy. I actually consider him a friend, a close friend. And, you know, being in this, I don't know, I want to say business, but being in this content creating atmosphere, you know, it's kind of unique because everybody's trying to do their own thing, you know?
Totally.
And anytime he has like an endeavor or something, you know, not every time, but I mean, he'll call me up like, hey, I got this going. Do you want to be a part of it? You know, hey, you know, he'll throw something at me. Be careful with this or be careful with that. And I do the same with him. Philly sports guy, you said the Philadelphia Heroes.
Oh yeah. No, every kid in my school, like if they see him at a sporting event, like they run up to him and get a picture and post it to their Instagram and Snapchat stories. He's a local celebrity. Like if someone sees him at a game, they like chase him down.
Right, right.
Impressive though.
I'll say this.
He dedicates himself.
The Philly fan base needs to up their standards just a little bit. No, I'm stopped. but no, you know what? To Jamie's credit, the man is on his grind. He is
dedicated. Hustles. All that face paint definitely doesn't wash off.
I don't. He tells me I need to paint my face. I'm like, nope, I'm already black. I'm good. I don't need any more paint. I don't need any paint whatsoever. But to Jamie's credit, whatever, I keep calling him Jamie. Damn it. Philly sports guy.
It's fine.
Whatever he is getting exactly what he deserves. I would even argue to say that he needs to get a little bit more. And with him, once he gets in his groove and like I said, and he shares the wealth, you know, because he always call, you know, we talk on the phone. I mean, now that the season's back on, because I'm on a show with him.
Yeah.
The NFC East
podcast. Yeah.
And, you know, because of him, I've been going to the drafts. Because of him, I've been going to the training camps. You know, I'm really thankful for him. And, I don't want to boost his ego up any more than I already have. So we should talk about something else.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But, you know, I had to bring it up, you know, for the people back here at home.
I mean, the guy, he's doing his thing. He's doing his thing.
Oh, yeah.
None but love for him. None but love for him.
How about we talk about this year's Giants team, what we're getting from training camp and what we're getting to look at the future of this team, see what direction we're heading in. Positives, negatives, whatever we're feeling.
You know, right now, the positives are, let's just talk about the defense. The defense is going to be a beast, okay?
It's going to be stellar. We're so good.
It's, you know, the defensive front, I think we could do for another cornerback, but I think we got a cornerback from the Eagles. I think we signed.
Yeah, I don't remember his name. Yeah,
I don't either.
We did.
Borders? We just need somebody.
Like beyond Borders?
Something like that. Yeah, something like that. We just need someone to compliment Banks.
Oh, yeah.
Offensively, I love what I'm seeing with Jones and Neighbors. I mean, you're there, so I'm going to pick your brain on what, you know, what you saw.
Of course, I'm seeing the highlights.
I'm seeing highlights. I'm seeing the lowlights. I mean, the positive, I think we're going to be more of a potent offense. Hyatt's going to get his touchdown this year. And Neighbor's going to be in the end zone a bunch of times this year, hopefully, in theory. The only con I see is our depth. I mean, we're you know, we don't have a big depth in the defensive backfield. You know, we don't have – I mean, wide receiver, okay – offensive line, okay, back running, you know, linebackers. I'd like to see us have a little more depth than linebackers.
We have like two of the best linebackers in the NFC East, but then once you get beyond that, it gets kind of gets kind of tricky. Right, you know, that Akeereke McFadden double team is ridiculous.
It's going to be, I mean, I'm just excited. I'm excited. You know, let's come out of preseason healthy and let's just attack week one and be 1-0, which I plan on being at that game, by the way.
That's sweet.
Let's plan on being 1-0 after Sunday, week one.
One guy I've noticed on the defense that's getting, you know, more reps than I would expect, performing way better than what I would expect, Deontay Johnson. He's been shining. And in the few times I've gone, he's gotten a couple like tipped pickoffs, like on throws over the middle that have been batted up. He's making plays. He's making his presence known. It's impressive because, you know, I didn't realize that he was that good until we hit training camp.
And let me ask you this too. With Drew Luck, how is he looking in training camp?
Locke's looking like he'll be compared to Jones, or
if that's even fair, because to be honest, Jones is getting more of the number one reps, right?
Yeah,
so you can't give a play by play, you know, you can't put them together. So I'm just curious on how he's looking and how he's, you know, understanding the offense.
So Locke is, in terms of, I'm going off 11 on 11s because that's like, you know, the main focus of training camp, seeing how they do in an actual like team aspect. But Locke's going out there and he's putting work in. You know, there have been a few plays. One of the plays I saw where I was like, what on earth is he thinking? But overall, I think he's trying to make, you know, the logical reads, see where he wants to go. A heavy target of his has been Wandale. He's really liking Wandale. Okay, yes. He's liking Wandale and the slants and more of the over the middle stuff. Whereas Jones has been really prioritizing the deep ball. The big thing with Jones I've noticed is he's really targeting those back shoulders to Neighbors. He loves those. He's hit Neighbors for maybe 3 or 4 back shoulder touchdowns so far. One of them was yesterday when I was there. I was talking with Renan, and I just see Jones deliver this perfect bomb to Neighbors, back shoulder in the back right of the end zone. I couldn't even see it. My view was obstructed, but like it was, looking at the video afterwards, heck of a catch. So
I'm seeing
Jones is also targeting. So Locke is more targeting, like, you know, the guys over the middle. Jones is more heaving it up to Neighbors and Hyatt. Jones is looking a lot at those two.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off there, but
totally fine.
I've seen Jones throw a really good ball.
Yeah.
Like, there's spirals. I mean, you can't even see the white laces on the rotation of the ball.
DeVito's are looking kind of rough, but
I'm sorry.
Kind of expect DeVito's are looking kind of rough. Like not even in 11-11s. Like even like, you know, those drills where the quarterbacks go out with the coaches and do whatever. A few of his just aren't looking all that pretty. But Jones and Locke have been keeping the spiral pretty tight, and it's getting to where they want it to get to.
And I think with DeVito, I think with him, it's one of those, he understands, and I don't want to speak for him, but maybe he understands his role. That he's not going to get the reps that he got, say, last year. But we do have to kind of just recognize his experience as a starter. I mean, those 3 weeks that he gave us last year was phenomenal. And I mean,
insanity.
You know, it was, you know, kudos to him. And
he hopped in and took the team by storm. Yeah, he hopped in, played his role, and, you know, played some solid games. I'm still so annoyed with the way last year went. It's still so annoying to me. The fact that we lost that Bills game and that Jets game made me want to snap a wooden board over my knee. I had an event and I see we're winning against the Jets with negative yardage. I'm like, what on earth is this? And then we lose and I'm like, oh, that's the most Giants thing ever.
Yeah. And that was tough too, because.
And then the Bills game with the Waller drop in the end zone. Yeah.
With the Jets, look, Shane, look, if Gano would have made that field goal, that would have been in the win column. You know, I mean, simple as that. And I know Dable was getting, Dable was getting heat in the press conference post game.
Yeah.
I would have done the same thing. I mean, come on. I would have done that. I would have kicked the field goal. You know, maybe he didn't know he was injured. Maybe Gano thought he could go out and perform. you know. Yeah. But I know this year, I mean, that's kind of how last season went and how we lost games, close games. And, yeah. I mean, that could be on the flip side this year. And I think with the weapons now that Jones has, with the offensive line that Jones has, I think, you know, it's going to be a lot of, you know, production on there.
I would argue this is the best. I'd argue this is the best team we've given Jones while he's been our starter.
By far. And that's the argument that I say I'm a Jones lover. No diddy. I people clown Jones. I defend him. And I'll even say that, you know, he didn't have the offensive line and he didn't have the weapons that he needs, i.e. a number one wide receiver. And now this year he has both.
Yeah.
And I think when, you know, Shane addressed the issues that Jones was lacking, you know, you gotta take the Barkley situation and what we have now. I'm good with what we have now. I'm good with, what came out of not re-signing Barkley. But now,
I think with this offense, the sky's the limit in terms of what Jones has had.
Now it has to pay off.
The potential these receivers have, Neighbors, Hyatt, and Wandale, is and off the charts.
Let's not forget Slayton. Let's not forget Slayton either.
Slayton's Mr. Consistent.
He's
that guy.
And Hodges. I mean, Hodges is still with us.
Hodges has huge playoff experience.
So I think the trade-off is more of an upside for us. But now it shows great on paper. Okay, now let's let it shine on the field.
Yeah.
So.
But speaking about Gano, another guy, I didn't have this in my notes. I'm just going off the top here. Mm-hmm. But the other kicker, you got Gano, and then you got, I believe he's pronounced Jude McAdamney, I think, is our other kicker. And in terms of, you know, the kicking drills, his leg is a missile.
Okay.
Like, he was draining them from 45, and everyone was like, whoa, where did this kid come from?
Right.
Like, he was set up from probably 30, 35, and hit it over the structure that blocks the next field. He kicked it onto the next field several times over.
Yeah, he has a healthy, brand new leg.
He has a leg.
A young leg. That'll do it for you.
Yeah, I got there, and I was like, who is this guy? Like, I've never seen him. I'm like, what position is he? And then I see him go out there with Gano, and I'm like, oh, boy. Where is this going to go? And then he just starts booting him.
You know, practice, it's obviously it's different than the real game.
Yeah.
I like, obviously, if I was, you know, Dable, of course I'd lean towards Gano because you know what you're going to get with him. You
more
know
experience.
That in more experience, the pressure situation, you know, it is what it is. But it's also good. I mean, shoot, if I could have that young kid and I haven't seen the kid kick, I'll be honest.
Yeah,
I'm going off of what you said. I'd keep him on the practice squad.
Oh, totally. Know? No, I think you should definitely keep him in case, you know, Gano happens to go down.
Yeah, just to have that depth.
Because last year being stuck with, like, what? Didn't we have, like, four kickers in, like, 5 or 6 weeks?
Yeah. And who was it that kicked the ball one? Because in the New Orleans game, what's his name got hurt? Who was that player?
Oh,
you know what? I'm gonna look it up. It's gonna kill me.
I think we had Crosby for the Rams game.
No. I'm saying it was
the Saints game. I'm trying to think of who that was. I don't remember.
The Saints game.
I don't remember.
I will pull it up here.
But yeah, we had so many stickers.
Because what's his name got hurt, and he hurt his hamstring, and we had just a random, I mean, it was one of the superstars that New Orleans, or here we go, box scores, here we go. Hold on a sec. Jamie Gallen?
I mean, Gillian's the punter. Gillian's a punter, yeah.
Gillian. That's who kicked the field goal for 40 yards.
The Scottish Hammer.
But I think when he kicked that, he got hurt. He hurt his hamstring.
Yeah, Jamie Gillian. He's a fun guy.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen his Madden card that they keep pushing?
No.
I'll try to pull it up. Madden card, Scottish Hammer. So his nickname is the Scottish Hammer. And he, like, this Madden card is the funniest thing ever. This is the card art for his Madden card. It's like he has like a Thor's hammer type thing. No, it's so cool. He's a 99 overall punter, and it's like such a cool card art. I saw it in like the marketplace last year, and I was like, "What is this?"
That's hilarious.
He's one of those guys that, you know, like when he was walking by at training camp, everyone's like Scottish Hammer, just yelling at him. You know, he's a fun guy.
Yeah. I'm going next year. I'm gonna find a way.
It's such a great experience. I love
training camps. I mean, it's just an experience. It's an awesome experience.
It is. It is.
Nothing. I mean, that's the time you get to, you know, meet the players, get their autographs, and, you know,
I set a new personal record yesterday.
What was
total of 11? It was very impressive. Yeah, very impressive on my part.
That's phenomenal.
Very good day. But you know who else had a good day and who's looking to be a menace, maybe take over that Saquon spot soon enough? We got Tyrone Tracy, the rookie halfback. You know, Eric Gray coming in last year, everyone was like, oh yeah, it's Eric Gray season. And, you know, you can say whatever you want about Eric Gray. He's had some good plays. But Tyrone Tracy, I think, has that grit that we need from the replacing Saquon spot. I don't know if Singletary is the long-term option. I think he's more of a, you know, temporary solution to until we get that new Saquon-esque halfback.
Right.
But Tracy, you know, started out at Iowa, switched to Purdue, and we took him in this draft. And he's gotten some reps as like a returner, but he's also gotten some reps on the ground with Jones and Locke in 11s. He's looking nice. He's shifty. Maybe not Barkley, but I think he's like a Barkley light even. He's showing flashes that he could eventually be a guy that we could, you know, lean on as a solid halfback too this year and could potentially take over the starting spot if we want to give it to him over the coming years. Well, I think the potential's there.
My question is, can he be that running back in between the tackles? That's my question.
It's a lack of sample size for me. I've only been to those two training camps. Haven't seen much of him because he doesn't get media coverage. No one really cares about him quite yet. But from what I've seen in college and in the plays where he's ran in training camp, he looks mobile. He plays like Saquon. Like, he's a guy that, you know, the floor is the floor. You know, that's never a guarantee. But the ceiling is there. He's one of those guys I think has the potential to be a late round steal when we look back at it 6 years in the future.
Oh God, I hope you're right. I mean, and I think what made Barkley dangerous was, you know, his catching ability outside, you know, out of the pocket. And if Gray, and if he can do that, you know, just kind of take that stress off of Daniel as a check down option. Oh, it'll be awesome.
Oh,
I mean, it'll contribute heavily to this offense.
There was one big play. I think it was Jones at Q. It was an outside run from right to left. And he gets off the offensive line and he sheds a Karake. And I saw that and I was like, and he ran it in. And I was like, wow, that was a hell of a play. I was like, that is huge.
And, you know, his last year at Purdue, they moved him to running back.
Yeah, what was he?
His natural position, he was a wide receiver, yes.
He's fast. He can move. He's one of those guys, you know, if you get the ball to him, he can make a guy miss. So it's more the fact that he, you know, was able to shed a top-tier linebacker in the league. I was like, whoa, that took me by storm.
And, you know, watching Hard Knocks – and seeing like the progression of the scouts and how methodical Shane and his team is, you know, it really made me feel good knowing that Shane got the guys that he wanted. He had tons of information of the type
last
of player.
Last year and this year. It seemed like Shane really got what he wanted.
Yes.
Because when you look back at my mock draft from last year, I had I had Banks, JMS, and Hyatt all going in the first round. Mm-hmm. We get JMS in the second, Hyatt in the third. I'm sitting there on my couch with my dad. I'm like, what did we just do?
Yeah, yeah. Like, I was actually in KC when those names were called. And it was just, it was an awesome feeling.
I think I had Hyatt going like 31 or 30. I had JMS going like 23. And I had Banks going like 13, I think. It was wild because I look at my mock draft. I was like, whoa, we got three of those guys.
Yeah, yeah. Hyatt, it was between Hyatt and another wide receiver that I'd have been all right with in the third round.
Yeah, I just love Hyatt as a player. I think the potential's so there. I think he needs to diversify the route tree. He's been working on it. Yeah. You know, we all know Hyatt's a deep threat. Jones get ball, Jones throw ball. That's how it's going to be with him. But he's one of those guys that can just torch over the top. Like, you leave him unattended, and he will burn you and go for 40 yards. And we saw that. He had, what, like, maybe 7 catches last year, and all of them were, like, over 30 yards?
Yep. And I'm looking.
I think he had one catch in the Arizona game where I think it was on the left sideline. I might be remembering that wrong, but I feel like he had one huge play in the Arizona game that led to
the comeback. He did, yes. Yes, he did. Was it Hodges that caught that touchdown?
I think so. I think it was.
I think it was Hodges on that drive. Yeah, yeah. And you know, I was at the Arizona game.
Oh, you were? The comeback game? That was sick.
That was the one game that I'm glad I was at because I was there when it was depressing in the first half.
Yeah.
Because we haven't scored any points in 6 quarters. And then all of a sudden, it just came together the second half.
And that was great. I was on FaceTime with all my boys just, like, pacing around my room, just keeping – shout out Mike and John. But, like, we were just watching it. And as soon as we scored to take the lead, I just screamed, let's go. Yes. And my dad was like, shut up. But I was so excited. That was the game.
Yeah.
That was like the main flash that we saw from last year in a widely disappointing season following the playoff win.
I mean, and there's a lot of ifs, you know, if Barkley didn't get hurt, would we have been that more competitive against San Francisco?
San Fran, we were in that game for a minute before, Purdy started to pull away, but we were in the game
The score did not
first half at least
at all.
No, we were playing well
at all.
It was one of the rare games where, you know, the offensive line didn't look like a total, like, combustion.
Right. Right.
Like, for moments, like, they were holding Bosa off for a few moments. And it was like, whoa. I didn't know you had that in you.
I'm trying to pull up the, because I'm looking at the, like, from, and I don't want to pay too much attention from last year. But, yeah. I mean, it's just a lot of these,
But last year should be the bare minimum for this year. We need to do much better than that. So as long as we don't replicate last year, I see this year as a success.
Yeah, not only that, I'm, you know, Dable, and I blame Dable for this. First off, the guy looks great.
He looks great.
And I said this in one of my shows. Him and I, we got a little beef because. You know, he left the big guy group. You know, why'd you leave? And you didn't even tell me. Didn't send me an email. Be like, hey, I'm tired of being here. I'm leaving.
It was funny. I was like on Instagram and I see Dable and I was like, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks great. You know, Dable got me spoiled. His first year got a taste of the playoffs, got a playoff win.
And that was nice. And then he just switches it up.
Well, you know, and for whatever reason, last year was the year that it was.
I blame Kafka.
I have high expectations on Dable. Yeah. And I want to see us in the playoffs. But my expectations, not only the playoffs, we got to beat the Dallas Cowboys. We got to beat the Philadelphia Eagles. And we always beat, you know, the football team. I'm sorry, the Commanders. But I mean, we to be competitive in this division.
Last year's Dallas games were a crime. Like unfair.
I mean, of course, you know, we're not going to talk about week one, but then when they came, when the Giants came here, against Dallas, because I, like I said, I live in Dallas.
Yeah.
You know, we had everybody knew that the game was not going to be in our favor.
Yeah.
But I still held hope. You know, I mean, you never know. The ball can bounce your way.
And then still, just showed no fight. It was a massacre.
I mean, I don't want to say they didn't show any fight. I want to say they did the best they could to compete.
Which wasn't
well, I mean, they did the best they could. I know, and I did get to see Shepard. I'm a huge Sterling Shepard fan.
Sterling's always, even though he left, he's still going to be that guy to the
Yeah, Jets, you know, I mean, I saw him score a touchdown.
He was the hype man. Good.
You know, yeah, it was good, you know. But this year's going to be different, and I don't think there's any wrong for a Giant fan to have high expectations. And, you know, you want your team to be successful. You know, we hear it every year with the Dallas Cowboy fans. Oh, it's our year. It's our year.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's going to be, you know what? It's going to be our year. I'm going to say it. It's going to be our year.
Yeah. I think if you put us in the NFC South, we win the division potentially.
Yeah. But, you know, I like the East. I like us being in the
East.
It's
tough competition. You got to hold your own and make sure keep your own.
We got to beat Dallas. I'm sick and tired of hearing people here in Dallas.
It'll happen. Manifest. You know, we got to manifest.
They keep talking about the record and Dak and this and that. Knowing damn well Dak hasn't won anything. and you know, I like being in the East because I would rather us be in the East because they come here. I get to see my guys at least once a year.
Oh yeah. And that's always a positive, you know?
Right.
For me, you know, Philly, I'd rather not watch us play at the Link. I've watched us play at the Link one time. You want me to tell you when I watched us at the Link?
When?
I was a little kid with my friend, my best friend there. And we were in the lead. And then Elliot kicks like the 63 yarder or whatever it was.
Oh no, you were at that game.
That was my first Giants game, was watching Elliot boot it. And I was the only Giants fan with his entire family, like even like his extended family. Like, he had like an aunt there. And I was just sitting there like, oh my, what just happened?
Yeah. I turned it off.
That game was awful. And
like, there's no way he's gonna make that, and a fucker made it. I'm sorry.
That was the worst.
So let me ask you this. Ever. Let me ask you this, and I'm going to tell you what people have said to me. Should I make a trip to Philly, with watching the Giants,
like repping full Giants in the Link?
Yes, yes.
Head to boy. Toe,
socks, jersey. Oh, I mean, boy. Should I go there? Should I go or should I stay?
I mean, them Philly fans are scary, man. They scare me.
So let me tell you what was said to me.
They scare me.
I was told not to waste my money. Don't go to Philly.
Yeah, it's
by multiple people.
They're not the nicest people in the world overall. Like, you know, Philly sports guy, he's a cool guy. He's a nice guy.
Right. But right. He said if I go with him, he'll protect me. I'm like, you're just one man against millions.
The average Philly fan, if it wasn't illegal, would push a Giants fan down a flight of stairs. So that's the way I look at it. If it was not a crime, the average Eagle fan would push the average Giant fan down a flight of stairs with no remorse. That's the way I think about it.
Oh, man. That's funny.
That's the way I think about it. So, you know, I really would rather not go to the Link to watch another Eagles-Giants game. I'd rather, you know, do it at least at MetLife, where there's going to be a better ratio of Giants fans. Like, even I was at the Yankee-Philly game in the 12 innings a couple of days ago. And, oh, my God, the amount of Philly fans that were, like, pointing at me and whatever was crazy.
How far are you from MetLife?
Hour and a half, hour 20.
Oh, that's not too bad.
But it's like the most boring drive on this planet.
Horrendous. No,
it is so bad.
It's boring from the airport to MetLife. I know. I can't imagine an hour.
Awful. But, you know, I will say on the way, there is this one Wawa that clutches every single time.
Okay.
Wawa is my saving grace in every scenario in Giants training camp. It's no difficulty. Not at all. Wawa, like, every day my Wawa Rewards account gets some little boost to it. So
there you go. I got another 10 minutes. So
sweet. Totally.
What more you want to talk about?
Let's just talk a little bit about the O-line. See what's going on
there. Okay.
So we got Thomas. Thomas is a lock. That's what that is. The question is, where do you put everyone else? Now, what I'm seeing is Runyon and our new signing, Greg Van Roden, are both taking snaps at center while JMS is hurt. The question is, where will they go once JMS comes back? I'm thinking Runyon at left guard, Van Roten at right guard, and Illuminor at right tackle. That's what I'm looking at.
I'm glad we're talking about the line, and I'm gonna say this. I really truly, seriously, by the bottom of my heart, hope that they're not slowly trying to phase Evan Neal out.
Yeah.
I really do think
that's inevitably what's happening. Like I think so too.
What's gonna happen? Last year the comments didn't help him about, you know, flipping hot dogs. Although you don't flip hot dogs, you roll them. All right, let's be honest.
You flip burgers. There's a difference.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. And you know, his backhanded apology. And I'm gonna defend him though, because we're critical as Giant fans. Right. You know, we still have that bad taste of Eric Flowers in our mouth. Right. And it's not fair to say to Neil, hey, you're Eric Flowers 2.0. It's not. And I'm going to say it's not fair for us to say that with him. I've never said that. Whenever I hear it, I'm like, let's not go that far. It was his, you know, last year was his sophomore season.
Even if we face him out, we could still use him. I have an idea.
I think we need to move him to guard.
I have a filthy idea. Imagine the run game with Thomas at left tackle, Neal at left guard, and we just run it.
I said the same thing.
The size. When you have that much mass of man, it's almost impossible to stop. Even if he can't, you know, block with the elites, just the pure size with him and Thomas would be enough to pancake at least three people.
I said the exact same thing, last year on my show. Can you imagine? Of course, it was Saquon in the backfield.
But the pure size.
They would have to put like four people. They have to put like maybe 10 in the box. You know, five on one side alone, just for that. You know, that hole to open up. And look, I understand why Neil wants to stay at tackle, because that's where the money's at.
Yeah.
But this is, you know, you got to worry about your career, and you got to put the team first. If the team wants you to be guard, I'd put him at left guard. No, I mean, I agree 100% what you're saying.
Yeah, totally. I think swapping off Runyon and Neal, it would be absolutely a crime to the run game.
It's a wall. It'd be the great wall of New York.
It literally on that is. Side,
you know? Definite.
But it's not even just that side of the line, because that connection between Van Roten and Illuminor is so strong. I saw a video of our game against the Raiders last year where Lawrence was lined up on Van Roten and Illuminor in a double team, and they held him. They barely let him advance at all. And now with the same offensive line coach they had in Vegas in New York, I think that could be another deadly weapon. So I think the real part of the O-line lays in what JMS can do. That's what I'm looking at.
And he's solid. He's going to come back. I mean, he's going to, you know, if we can be consistent on the offensive line.
And that's as good as we can have.
I mean, just be consistent on the offensive line. You know, for the whole year. I mean, for some reason, like the best line, of course, you know, I would say 07, in my opinion, you know, not to disrespect the 90 and the 86 Super Bowl team.
Oh, yeah.
But the 07 offensive line was one of the best offensive lines. that totally. I can think of. And if we can just get back to that type of play, I mean, we'll go places. You know?
Totally.
And beating Dallas is going to be important. I mean, we got to. We haven't done it. Yeah, we beat Philly.
Best line.
We got to do it again.
This is the best line we've had in Jones's time in New York. And so if we can use this line to, you know, stop Parsons, stop everyone the Eagles have, their defensive line is absolutely insane. The depth they have is ridiculous. Like, they have 8 or 9 guys that could, on D-line, that could start on several teams in the league. Their defensive line is going to be filthy. It's just, can our offensive line hold up and keep Jones in the pocket enough to where he could deliver over the top to, you know, Neighbors or Hyatt, or over the middle to Wandale?
And what, you know, kind of flipping back to defense, I'm really hoping that they will unleash Isaiah Simmons.
Yes. Simmons, another guy looking really solid.
I'm really glad when Dable asked the new coordinator, "Hey, will Simmons fit in where does Simmons fit in?"
Yeah, Bowen immediately was like, "Yes,
yes." And I just can't wait.
That confidence is what we need. We need that confidence in a coach.
Yeah. And you know, credit to Dable. From what I heard, what the whole situation with Wink, nobody knew. Nobody knew until the last day. So
I think Simmons has, there's a video of me watching the draft, and it's me, you know, my high pitched voice. My voice hadn't dropped yet. And I'm just like, I want Isaiah Simmons, linebacker, Clemson. And then I see we take Andrew Thomas, and me and my dad simultaneously go, who the hell is that? Because we were so set on Simmons. We were like, we want Isaiah.
Yeah, you're not the only guy.
And then we get Thomas. I was like, because I was still, you know, fully getting into the college scene, so I didn't know who he was. I was like, who on earth is that guy? And now here Andrew Thomas is, one of the best tackles in the league.
Now, I think
this And we got Simmons, so I got the best of both worlds. We got the guy we drafted, and we got the guy I wanted.
I think this would be a good question to end on, and I want to ask you this
Love
question.
It.
Who is your favorite all-time Giant? And you can't say LT. Everybody says LT.
Yeah. Well, I can't say LT. I didn't have any, you know, connection. He played far before I was born. He was more, you know, my dad's time, and he told me stories about him, but, like, you know, I can't really compare him to anyone I've seen. But excluding Saquon due to all the recent events, I would have said Saquon if you'd asked me 5 months ago.
Yeah, he don't count. Who? I
don't know. Yeah, exactly.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
But if you want me to answer that question right now, my answer is Jeremy Shockey.
Okay. That's respect.
That's my answer. That one. Okay. I'm a huge tight end's always been my favorite position. Huge tight end guy. We got a new menace, Theo.
Yes.
Our front office loves him. They've been showing him videos of Rob Gronkowski saying, this is going to be you. So I think Theo, you know, since I'm a Penn State and Giants fan, has potential to jump Shockey. But right now, I just love the way Shockey played, the way he gave his all to the team, and, you know, his massive roles on those teams. Now, big tight end guy.
It's funny you say about Shockey. Bear with me 1 second while I look for this photo.
How much time we got?
Shockey. Oh, we got a few minutes. So Shockey, I screenshotted this picture off of his Instagram page. This man, he should be in the Hall of Fame. Okay. Now, sadly, he may not have the stats. He may not have the numbers,
but he was a champion.
And every single level. This man, and I'm hoping I come across the picture. This man won a state championship. He won a national championship. Oh, here it is right here. These are all the rings that Jeremy Shockey had.
Man.
Okay. The one on the thumb, of course, this is his girlfriend's hand.
Yeah.
A state championship, of course, the Super Bowl champion, the Super Bowl ring with the Giants, the Saints.
With the Saints.
And then I don't know, maybe that's a conference ring from Miami. Yeah. And then you have the national championship with Miami.
With Miami, yeah.
I mean, this guy's career is just ridiculous.
You're always held to a high standard as a first round tight end. He came into the NFL, did his thing, played his role on those teams, won those Super Bowls. You know, the stats might not jump off the page. You know, 11.2 yards per reception is good, but 37 touchdowns, it's solid, but you know, it's no Tony Gonzalez. But I love Shockey. I think he was one of those guys that just went in there and played to win. That's what I love about him.
When he won his ring in 07, of course he had an injury, so he didn't play in that game. But when he came back and won it in 09 with the Saints, I'm like, okay, he got his moment because he scored a touchdown in that game. He got his moment. Now, for me, my all-time Giant is simple. The first MVP, Super Bowl MVP in New York football Giant history, and that is number 11, Phil Simms.
Oh, yeah.
The way the man threw the football, there was never a duck. I mean, it was always a spiral, always accurate, always on point. The only problem I see with Simms, he could have just had one more touchdown pass.
Yeah.
You know, broke that 200 mark in TDs. Just hit 200. Just hit 200. Maybe he would have been considered more for the Hall of Fame. But just because he's sitting at 199, I still believe he should be a Hall of Famer because of the era that he played in. Totally. I mean, in that era, you could drop kick the quarterback. And you know,
there were no rules. Now if you touch them, it's over.
Yeah.
Flag on the play, you're done, ejected, bye bye.
There's no Brady rule, there's no Patrick Mahomes rule, there's no Josh Allen rule.
Yeah.
It was just a brutal game.
Back then it was like if you see a guy blitzing at you, pray for your life.
Yes. Yeah. And they did, you know. And plus in Parcells' system, for Simms to throw over 100 TD passes in Parcells' offense speaks volumes. I mean, Simms is a run guy. And for him to have that success in that type of offense, we shouldn't hold that, you know, against him. I mean, I don't think, hold on a sec. Let me
tell you. He just kept the team intact on the offense.
He did. He did. He was a true.
The fun thing about my list, though, when you look at my list, like the honorable mentions could be like a whole essay in themselves.
I know. When people say, "What's your Mount Rushmore of Giants?" Like, I mean, you have to be. I mean, you're 15 minutes of just honorable mentions.
Totally. You know? Like, because there's barely any Giants that don't have a case to be on that list.
Exactly. Most
guys bring something to the table. Like, when you look further down the list, you got I'd put Manningham somewhere in the honorable mentions.
You got to. Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Like it's you can keep going. And I think eventually, I think Kayvon could be considered on the list, once he really passes his time as a Giant. So big Kayvon guy.
I wanted to see how many TD passes Troy Aikman had, right?
Oh, Aikman's career ratio is awful. His touchdown interception ratio is horrendous. And that's the point I'm trying to make here.
So, Troy Aikman never threw for more than 24 touchdown passes in the season. And still, Phil Simms has more TD passes than Troy.
Yeah. In the rare occurrence where, I do interact with a Dallas fan, I always bring that up. They're always like, yeah, we have more titles. I'm like, yeah, well, look at Troy Aikman's stats. If he didn't have Michael Irvin, there's a good shot he's, a below-average quarterback. His stats are nothing.
Michael, and Emmett. And Emmett, too.
Yeah, no, his stats are nothing to write home about, even with, one of the most prolific receivers of pre-2000. And with Emmett Smith, who, is commonly in regards as one of, if not the greatest halfback of all time. Yeah, you take away his weapons, put him in even the offense Jones had his first few years, would be maybe in the same boat.
That's one of the arguments against Emmett. Because if Barry Sanders had that line, Barry Sanders would have had 25,000 yards career.
Oh, easily.
With that offensive line.
But, I never saw him play, but watching his highlights, Barry could have been so much more if he was Barry given was a spot around him.
The man.
He's so cool.
I can't thank you enough for this opportunity. I would stay on a lot more longer, but we're getting ready for
Marcel
tomorrow.
Oh, so sweet.
But, yeah, I'm not making any money off either.
Just so you know, though, I'm always down to talk some Giants football.
Oh, heck yeah. And you're always invited to come on the show.
Love it.
I didn't do a show yesterday. Well, because I was doing this today. So,
yeah.
But I will be back on Tuesday. So you're more than welcome definitely to join the show.
Love it. Thank you, man. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for coming on for my first show. Saving, you know, the best for first. Best for first. Yeah,
you know. And of course, before I go, let's go Giants.
Ow!
Had to say it.